We're in the book of James. We're going verse by verse. And James is now transitioning. And we just had three messages on the tongue and how hard it is to contain the tongue, how hard it is to control it. And in the end, James says, God's the one that can control it. And so those are the things that we say. But now James is shifting gears a little bit, and he's going into from what we say to what we do. And as Christians, obviously the things that we do ought to be in the light of God's wisdom. Now I know you as well as me, as well as everyone, we've made decisions in our own wisdom in the past. It seems right to us. And we do those things. But then God has wisdom. And he wants to give it to us. Think about that. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit himself residing within you and all the wisdom that goes with that. And so many times we kind of forget that, I think. And we look at situations in our life and we just make a decision, and we don't even ask God. We don't even make him part of the decision. And in his word, in Proverbs, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." And if you want to have a really kind of a simplistic definition of wisdom, it's knowledge and understanding. Knowledge, first you got to know. You got to know what to do. But then understanding is taking the truth of God's word and applying it to your life. That's understanding. And there's a lot of people that can quote you a ton of verses. They have the knowledge, but they don't apply it in their life to the decisions that they make. And so therefore you don't have wisdom. Therefore you just have knowledge and you're just making your decisions and doing what you want. And in many cases we reap what we sow, don't we? Make a bad decision, there's a bad consequence, and then we got to deal with that consequence. And so, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge, yes. This book, knowledge, truth. It has the answers to the issues of life. You want to know what God thinks about marriage? It's in there. What he thinks about service? It's in there. What he thinks about bitterness or forgiveness or money issues, all those things are in here. And so you can know all those verses, but true wisdom is understanding them and understanding how to put it to use in your life in such a way that you will be in God's will, basically, in whatever area you're dealing with. And so let's look and see how wisdom can impact life. And we have our verse. It's just one verse. And James asks a question, and then he answers it. He says, "Who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness," or meekness. It might be translated meekness in some versions. Same thing. Meekness. Power under control. You have the power to make a decision. You have a power to do something, but you choose not to do it. That's meekness. And it's under control. And that's what meekness is. You have the ability to do things. They talk about Jesus being meek. Being meek isn't being weak. You see what Jesus did on Calvary? That wasn't weak. But he was meek in that he had the power to just say, enough. And Rome would have been destroyed and he'd come off the cross, whatever. He had the power to do that. But he was meek. And he said, "No, I have to complete my mission. I have to die for these people that I love so much. I'm going to die for them and pay the price for their sin." And that's what Jesus did for you and for me. Yeah, meekness is not weakness. Don't ever confuse that. And so we're going to look at some attributes of wisdom before we really get into this verse. Because he's asking, who is wise? And then in his answer, he says, with wisdom's gentleness. So we got to understand wisdom. And so we have this first proverb, and we're going to go through Proverbs 2, 6 through 13, just kind of briefly. And just because it gives us the basis of wisdom, it gives us what it's about, it gives us what it will do in our lives if we use this wisdom. And so the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Wisdom defends. Wisdom defends us. It protects us. And the very next verse, he says, he stores up, meaning God. God stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity. It's all in this after he says, get wisdom. Get wisdom from God because he stores up success and he is a shield. Wisdom allows God to protect us from ourselves. Were you ever in need of protection from yourself? I know I have. Made a bad decision, paid the price. You know, there's this law. It's not that if you believe in God that nothing wrong's ever going to happen or that he's going to keep you from making bad decisions. He doesn't. And I think we're all proof of that. We've all made bad decisions. He didn't stop us. In fact, what did Jesus say? You're going to reap what you sow. You make bad decisions, you're going to reap the consequences of those decisions. You make good decisions, you'll reap. Consequences is still an apt word, but we tend to have a negative connotation. So we would reap the rewards of that decision. We reap the goodness of falling in line with God's will regarding that situation. Wisdom allows God to protect us from ourselves. Kind of like being in debt. Get into debt. And then you get into debt so much that, man, there's no way out, right? So what do the ads on the TV say? Get a loan. Get a loan. Borrow more money. Now, that's how you get out of debt, right? You borrow more? That's what they tell you. That's what they tell you. And if we read God's Word, God says in His Word, He says, get out of debt. So that means spend less money. Not borrow more, spend less. That's God's wisdom. But so many times we kind of just go, okay, you know, whatever, I'm going to borrow and I won't do it again. Well, if you haven't changed anything to change your habit, you'll be worse off than you were before. And look, I've walked down that road. I know what that is. The only way is to spend less. You know, and that's God's way. And it might mean humbling yourself. I remember when my wife and I first decided we need to get a hold of this debt and get rid of it. And we had this really nice car. And we sold it. And bought this station wagon that was about, I mean, literally a station wagon with the wood grain. And it was all peeling off. And old. And I remember I went out and bought this car. She wasn't with me. I think I paid $300 for it or something. And it was a $300 car, all right. I come driving in and she just ran in her room and cried. You know? I can't believe I'm driving this car. And my boys called it the Poser Mobile. That was their name for it. But that was reaping what we sowed. But praise God, we started putting some biblical principles in our life in those areas, and eventually, you know, we came out of that. But it was a lesson that we had to learn. And it was hard. I mean, that car, man, that thing was ugly. It was bad. But you know what? Got us from point A to point B. Served the purpose. But wisdom will keep you from getting into those situations. If you apply it. Not just knowing. I knew the verses. Just never applied them in my life. So wisdom will defend us. Wisdom will direct us. It will direct us. Continuing the thought, so that God may guard our paths of justice and protect the way of His loyal followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, integrity, every good path. You know, those are paths. It's paths of righteousness, paths of justice, paths of integrity. You know, integrity is not an act, it's a lifestyle. It's not just doing something good one time. Being known as a person of integrity is a lifestyle of doing something right. It's a lifestyle of being honest. It's a lifestyle of being a man or a woman of your word. And it's wise to do that. That's wisdom. And it directs us, because how do you know what's the right way? Through God's word. Through a relationship with God. Now, there's a lot of things in your life that are not found in here. You know, you may be looking for a job, and you're not going to turn to, you know, Micah chapter 7, verse 1. Oh, you need to move to Arizona and find a job there. You know, it's not in there, okay? Okay, it's not in there. So, you got to have a relationship with the God that does know for your personal life, for those personal decisions that aren't found here. Because there's a ton of decisions we make. You can't go to a verse and it's going to tell you what to do. But you know, God knows. He has wisdom. He sees beyond what you see. And you need to go to Him and you need to ask Him for guidance and then sit back and wait for Him to answer. Because you know, He's God. He doesn't have to answer you right when you ask. And we may sit there and go, okay, God, what should I do? Well, you didn't answer me, so I better just make up my mind. Well, maybe God just wants you to stay put for a while. I'm not talking about moving, I'm just talking about whatever. Wherever you're at, whatever it is you're dealing with, sometimes you just need to stay put. Not make a decision. You know, that's a decision. You can decide not to make a decision and just wait on God. You know, sometimes things seem really, really hopeless or rough. It's kind of like I have been in back east in hurricanes and things like that, and it's raining so hard. I mean, so hard you can't see, and you just got to wait. And have you ever been driving along and maybe the roads are flooded and a big semi comes and they put that wall of water on your windshield and your windshield wipers are going, but for that, like, 3 seconds or how, it seems like about 30 minutes when you can't see a thing and you're doing like 60 or 70, you know, what do? Do you swerve? No, you just sit tight because you were already going good. That last time you saw something ahead, it was clear, but it was raining, and then that wall of water hit, so you knew that you just stay where you're at, and then eventually the windshield wiper comes, whoof, and you're like, oh yeah, I can see now. But you'd be foolish to turn off the course just because you can see. You can't see what's right in front of you. You stay on the same path. And maybe your life is like that. Maybe you got a big wall of water on the windshield of your life. And you can't see what's going to happen or what's ahead. You know what? You just need to stay right where you're at and wait for God to give you something. Now be busy about asking Him. Nothing wrong with that. You know, go to Him. I need to make a decision, Lord. I have no clue what to do. Direct my path, Lord. And then wait on Him to do it. Don't go rash. You know, don't jump to a conclusion. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He will direct your path. Even if it seems wrong. Sometimes He gives you clarity. I remember when we first decided we were going to move to New Mexico. We felt God was calling us to New Mexico. I had all these people telling me it was a mistake. A lot of people telling me it was a mistake. It was people at work, because they found out I was transferring. I had to take a third cut in pay. 33% cut. Selling our house, selling everything, went out there with a U-Haul. People were saying, you'll never get that money back. And I'm like, well, it's really not about the money. It's about obedience. And there was people in my family, not my wife's, my family, that was questioning the wisdom of what we were doing. I really don't know what my wife's family thought about it. They never said anything. But, you know, we went in faith, and you know, God worked it all out. He worked it all out. And then what was funny was we were there for 6 years, and then God told us to come back. And when I came back, I got my job back, the same job. And I was making more money than most of those guys that told me I'd never get it back. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that's what happened. God blessed. He blesses obedience, folks. So it's good to find out what God wants you to do. That's wise. And then apply it to your life. He directs your path. He takes, and those 6 years in New Mexico is some of the most important years in my development as a Christian. I believe I can safely say I would not be here right now if I had not gone there. I would not be here right now. God did a lot in my life and in the life of my wife during that time. He directs your path. Wisdom can give you delight. For wisdom will enter your mind, and knowledge will delight your heart. Wisdom will enter your mind, and wisdom will delight your heart. You know what true wisdom is? It's depending on God. It's trusting Him. That should delight your heart, that God is interested enough in you that He's going to give you wisdom, He's going to empower you, He's going to direct your path. That should delight you. The God of the universe is interested in you. Individually, you. What an awesome thing to consider. It can delight your heart, your heart, when things aren't even going your way. I remember at work once again, I remember when I hired in, and I worked there 34 years. But I remember when I hired in, you know, they said, oh, if you work for us, you're going to get all this and this and this. And there was people retiring at that time with a lot of money and their pensions and all that. And so you hire in and you're thinking you're going to get all that. You're thinking, you know, it's going to take care of you, you know. And then we had the meeting one day. Guess what? We're freezing your pension. And then they even tried to talk us, what we had in it, they were trying to talk us into getting out of it and into something else. And they pulled it. And I remember a lot of men there, very angry. And I'm not saying I was happy about it, but you know what? I had delight in my heart. And you know why? Because my eggs were not in that basket. I'm trusting in God to take care of me, not the Sears pension plan. Now, if God wants to use the Sears pension plan, fine. That might, maybe how He's going to use it, right? But I'm trusting God's going to take care of me and my wife. And He may use in any number of ways to accomplish that. And so there were people angry. They were mad. They were cussing and screaming. And, you know, they got the meeting got over and they're all out in the parking lot, you know. And I'm just like, well, I don't like it, but, you know, I'm okay. I'm going to be fine. And I'd grumble. I didn't like things that were going on. And that wasn't right. But in the end, I was trusting God for my future. Are you? I hope you are. Because He's the only one that knows it. You don't know it, but He does. And you can delight in your future. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, do you realize ultimately you're not going to be here and your future is very good? You can delight in that. You have a great future ahead of you. Wisdom delivers. It delivers. Proverbs 2:11-13. Discretion will watch over you. You know what discretion is? You know, it's like understanding that there's a good way and a bad way, so you choose the good. That's discretion. And understanding will guard you. Understanding how this book works and how God works in your life, that will guard you. And it will deliver you or rescue you from the way of evil, from the one who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right paths to walk in ways of darkness. You know, there's a progression there. It starts with you, rescuing you from the way of evil. You know what? You do, and I do. We all got this sin nature that draws us the wrong way. It's there. Paul wrote about it much. The flesh wars against the spirit. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. We have our spirit that God resurrected, brought to life within us when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. And our spirit is at odds with our flesh because our flesh is saying, go and do what you think feels right. Go and do what you think is the right thing. Don't worry about what God has to say. You do what you feel is right. And so it rescues us from the way of evil, because if nothing else is influencing us in any way, we are going to default the wrong way. That's just sin nature. There's a progression. So it starts with us. Then it says, from the one who says perverse things. Because you know what? Your flesh, it's bad enough you have to fight your flesh. But then you got to fight other people saying, well, you ought to do this, or you ought to do that, or, you know, whatever. And they may be telling you to do some things that God would not approve of. They're saying, it's all right, I've been doing that all my life, and look at me, I'm doing good. And so we get tempted. So it moves from just us to those around us that say things that are kind of tickling our ear, but we should know it's not good, it's not right. And then it moves from that to actual how we live. It says, from those who what? Abandon the right path. So you can be on the right path and then your flesh is pulling, but you can be on the right path. And then people can be saying things, trying to lure you, but you can still be on the right path. But then eventually, there are those that abandon the right paths to walk in darkness. And that's a lifestyle. That's a lifestyle of darkness. And we need to understand that wisdom delivers us from that. It keeps us from going down that road. I know I had many opportunities to make some bad decisions, especially when I was younger, especially my late teens. There was things my flesh wanted to do and I knew I shouldn't do it. And then there was people trying to talk me into it. And then eventually I fell in with people that was their lifestyle. But fortunately, for whatever reason, and I was not saved, I was not spiritual, but there was the conscience, I guess, that God gave me, that God gives all of us. And it was saying, get out of that situation. And for whatever reason, I showed unusual wisdom and did. Because it was unusual for me to have wisdom in those years. But I praise God for it. I mean, He saved me. He saved me from myself. So wisdom defends us. It can direct us. It can delight us. It can deliver us. And then, now that we see those things, James poses a question. He poses a question. Who is wise and has understanding among you? Wise. It describes a person with moral insights because he has what? Wisdom from God. He has knowledge. How do you know what's right and wrong? You understand, if we didn't have the Bible, there would be no basis for right and wrong. You know, all these people that that, you know, they say, oh, it's separation of church and state, and if it's got something to do with God, the state can't do that. Well, really, why do we have laws that says you can't steal? Where'd that come from? I mean, who says stealing's wrong? Why can't I have what you have? I mean, why can't I take it if I want it? I mean, if you really want to go with the evolutionist, survival of the fittest, I should be able to go to somebody I know I can beat up and take their stuff. And then just go, survival of the fittest, man. I mean, what makes it wrong? It's just God's word. Why is it wrong to kill somebody? God's word. Why is it wrong to lie? God's word. That's why. You know, so much of the issues we have in our society has to do with fairness. They're talking about fair. Well, married, you know, a man and a woman, you know, they get rights that people that practice homosexuality don't have. That's not fair. Well, you're right, that isn't fair. But it's not a question about being fair. It's about a question of what's right. And the Word of God says, man and a woman, that's right. Man and a man, woman and a woman, that's not right. It's not about being fair. It's about righteousness. It's about doing what's right. Whether it's that, or handling money, or anything else that we do. It's what's right is right. It's not about fairness. We've got to get this fairness thing out of our heads. It's not about being fair. Because you know what? God isn't fair. And you think about that. Before you stone me, okay, take me out in the parking lot and stone me. God's not fair. Why do some people got millions of dollars and I don't? That's not fair. I'm just as good as they are. Maybe I'm better than they are. It's not fair. Why do some people have great health and other people don't? That's not fair. Think about it. Life isn't fair, folks. God isn't fair the way we see fairness. He's just. That's exactly right. God is just. He does what is right. And we are to be like Him and do what is right. It's not about what is fair. It's not about being equal. You know, it's kind of funny, this whole thing about declaring yourself to be a girl or declaring yourself to be a guy. Because it's not fair. It's just ridiculous. And they've got this guy in Connecticut. He's a guy. Now he says he's a girl. But he's in high school. And he declared himself a female, joined the women's track team, and he's smashing all the records. You knew this was going to come back to bite him some way or another, right? All this stuff, because you know it's stupid. Just because I say I'm a woman, that doesn't make me a woman. I'm a man. I got man's muscles, men's muscle mass. Okay? And women can't compete with that. It's not fair. See, they get tripped up over their own stuff. And so the parents went to the school board and said, this isn't right. Our girls are practicing for years. They've been practicing for this moment. Training. And then some guy just joins. He don't even have to work. And he just wins. He's won 2 years in a row. Is it three? 3 years in a row. And so they go to the school board. The school board goes, well, he says he's a girl, so got to go along with it. You see where this thing goes? It's not about being fair. It's about being right. And what is right? Women are women. Men are men. One's not better than the other. Okay? Different roles. It's fine. It's the way God created it. It's the way He created us. I am not ashamed to be a man. And if you're a woman, you should not be ashamed to be a woman. You are who God created you to be. And there is value and worth in all those things. In all those things. The verse that always comes to my mind is the one that says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And that's what we're seeing now in all its glory. is just people that say they're so smart that they're foolish. I mean, it's just foolish. And a child can tell you that that isn't right, you know. I digress. I don't know, sometimes you just go there, you know. Wise, a person with moral insights, because he has wisdom from God. Understanding, who is wise, okay? If you know this word, you could say you're wise, but do you have understanding? Because obviously it says, who is wise and has understanding? So you can actually have knowledge and not understand how to apply it. But understanding is skill in deciding practical matters. That's what understanding is. It's just skill in deciding practical matters. You know, get out of the rain. You know? Have you ever known somebody, you say that saying, they're not smart enough to get out of the rain? You know, it's like, I know I should get out of the rain, but I really don't know how I'm going to do that. That's foolishness. It's foolishness. And so he says, who is wise and has understanding among you? And then I love the Bible because usually when it asks a question, it gives you an answer. And James gives us the answer. He provides an answer. He poses a question. He provides an answer. He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness or meekness. Our actions reveal our wisdom, or if we have any. Our actions reveal that. Look at this. Paul said, just one thing. Live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And you take that verse in for a moment. How are you living your life? Jesus Christ came and died for you. And you accepted his death, his sacrificial death, as your payment for your sin. And you believe in the resurrection. And you believe that he's seated with God right now. And you believe that this is God's word and it's true. And that's the gospel, folks. The gospel is just the good news. What's the bad news? Everyone deserves to go to hell. What's the good news? You don't have to go. You can trust in Jesus Christ. And then if you have done that, if you have trusted in Jesus, are you living your life in a manner worthy of that? That takes wisdom, folks, to do that. Our actions reveal our wisdom. You know, this is so important because people watch. People are watching you. If they know you're a Christian, they're watching you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, do you know people are watching you? And who are those people? Your children, your grandchildren. And maybe their friends, if their friends are there. Do you understand the impact you have? It's interesting. Dobson said, when our children are young, they follow our advice. When they're older, they follow our example. And you think about that. I have found that to be true. When I was little, I did what I was told. When I got bigger, not so much. Because some of the things I was told me not to do, they were doing. And then you're like, got this word credibility. Do you understand that everything you do or don't do, you are teaching somebody something? You are teaching them something? I use this a lot when I teach the parenting classes. You can tell a child, do not touch the microphone. And you know what the child will do? He'll look you right in the eye, and he'll go, and barely touch it. And then it's like, now what are you going to do? Now, here's where the teaching comes in. See, telling them to do or not do something, that's neither here nor there. What matters is what you do, how you respond to that evil act of defiance that that child did. Because it really is. I mean, it's our kids. We love them. Oh, that's so cute. Look at that. But it's really evil. It's defiance. You just told them to do something. They understood the command. They proved they understood it because they directly did what you told them not to do. You know they understood it. But here's the thing. If you do nothing, what have you taught them? That your word means nothing. Don't touch that, because if you do, I'm going to have to fill in the blank. Spank? Heaven forbid spank your kids. It's in the Bible. Not beat them, spank them. But if you just let it go, you're teaching them, guess what? There's no consequences to disobedience. You're teaching them that. And what's really cute when they're 2, oh, look at that, he's testing us. It's not so cute when they're 14. And you're telling them, don't go out with that guy. Or don't hang with that crowd. Or don't smoke that whatever. Or don't drink that whatever. Because you have taught them that you don't mean what you say. See, we're teaching folks, and there's people looking at you. And how you respond to things by what you do or what you don't do. Now, if you do punish, you get their respect, and they realize, you know what? When mom says don't touch the microphone, she means it. When dad says don't do that, he means it. They learn that. And then when they're 14, if you're consistent, when you say don't do it, they won't do it. I'm going to brag on my granddaughter, and she's going to be embarrassed. Yeah, you. We went on a hike up in Arrowhead to this place called Heart Rock. And what it is, it's just like a hole in a rock that's the shape of a heart. It's like down in there. And it's hard to get in. I mean, you can get to the rock okay. Now, I was with another grandchild and my son and someone else, whatever, her uncle. And we're all crawling all over this rock. We got down there, but it was really hard to get in there. And my grandson and my son got in there, and she wanted to go. She wanted to go in there. But her mom had told her, don't go in there. Her mom told her, don't go in there. And we were standing, I was near her and standing on the rock, and my grandson was calling out, hey, Delilah, come on down. You know, come on, it's easy. And you know what she said? No, because my mom told me not to. That's good. That's the way it ought to be. Could she have done it? Yeah. She probably wouldn't have got hurt. But it had nothing to do with her ability. It had everything to do with her obedience. And you don't get that at, I think she was 16 at the time, or 17 maybe. Gosh, you're getting so old, Delilah. Good grief. But she was 16 or 17, but that wouldn't have happened there if there hadn't have been some discipline at 6 and 5. So I praise her, but I also praise my son and his wife as well, because they work really hard to try and do what's good by their kids. And yeah, embarrass them now too, so it's cool. But anyway, the bottom line is, and here's the point, we are called to demonstrate wisdom, not declare it. Demonstrate it. We are called to demonstrate wisdom, not just say, I'm wise. Oh, yeah, I'm wise. No, demonstrate it. That's when you know. Wisdom is living life skillfully. It is a gift that protects you from decisions that could haunt you for a lifetime. You know, the Bible says in many places, you know, marriage is important. Commitment, one man, one woman, together for life is important. And we deal with a lot of young girls at the pregnancy center that they didn't follow those warnings. They didn't heed those warnings. Maybe they didn't even know those warnings. But their decisions, and you may say, you know, having a baby, that could haunt you, I guess, for a lifetime. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is they're getting diseases that they're going to have the rest of their life because of a decision they made, and they don't have to have that. They didn't have to make that choice. They could have been wise and said, you know what? I'm waiting for a man that will commit his life to me before I do this. Because marriage is not just a piece of paper. It is a commitment. And that is why so many of these young men don't want to do it. They just say, oh, it's just a piece of paper. They're blowing it off. Why? Because they don't want to make the commitment. And if you're a young lady, you make sure, or any lady, because you don't have to be young to get married, but make sure that guy's committed to you. That's wisdom, folks. Now, I love this verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless for the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? There is a formula there. Spirit, soul, body. That is the formula for marriage, folks. If you're looking for someone, or if you've got a child or a grandchild that is of that age, you would do well to study that verse. You would do well to explain that verse. Because if you're going to marry somebody, you better be the same spirit. If you're a saved, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you better marry someone that's a saved, born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Or you're going to have a road that's not going to be real happy for a while. I mean, hey, my wife violated it. Go talk to her. She married a guy that wasn't saved and paid a price. Now, it worked out, but there's no guarantees. So the spirit, the same. Soul, what's the soul being the same? You need to have the same soul. What's that? Are you on the same path? You're getting to know somebody. You have the same, okay, they're saved. I'm kind of interested in them. But, oh, wow, they're going to go, they want to do all this, and that's not me. Well, then maybe you need not let that relationship go any further. Because you don't have the same soul. You're not, you know, you're going in a different direction. And God will bring you together with someone that, you know, you're in the same direction. And then lastly, body. The body's last. So you find someone with the same spirit and the same soul. Now you marry them, and now two can become one. That's God's wisdom, folks. That's God's wisdom. And it keeps you blameless. It keeps you blameless. Until when? Till the Lord comes back. That's how long. If you don't follow that, you may find a very rough road ahead. That doesn't mean, you know, if you do find that right person, that there aren't trials and there aren't things to be worked out. There always is. But boy, when you got those three in line, spirit, soul, then body, it sure works out a lot better. You know what we do in this world? It's the flip. We go to the body first. And then maybe we learn to like them. And then maybe we even all get saved. But that's not the way God wanted it done. And that's why we have so many problems as we have. People get out of God's plan. They get out of His path, His way. Wisdom replaces confusion with clarity. You can be in the midst of a crazy situation and not be able to see straight, but if wisdom is applied to it, all of a sudden you'll go, wow. And sometimes that requires another person to kind of look in. So don't be afraid to go to someone, a trusted friend, someone that's godly, someone that knows the Word. And you may be saying, because our emotions get involved. And when our emotions get involved, we're not safe. Because emotions tend to cloud our thinking. Wisdom warns of impending danger. I never should have jumped out of that tree. If I'd have been wise, and I did jump out of a tree, and I think that's why my back bothers me so much these days. When you're young, it don't bother you. You're old, you pay the price for your youth. Wisdom keeps you in tune with God's perspective. Wisdom is a life preserver for the drowning. Wisdom is a compass for the lost. You don't know which way to go? Go to God's Word, get wisdom, and He'll reveal to you the path. Don't just go around in darkness. A light that illuminates a dark situation. That's wisdom. Wisdom can take a complicated situation and give a simple solution. You know, sometimes we make it all complicated, and you know what complicates it? Our desires. We're not so interested in what's right and wrong. We want it to come out our way. We want to work it so it comes out the way we think it ought to come out. And that's what makes it, because we know, well, I should do this, but boy, I really want to do this. And that's what makes it complicated. Whereas if we would just stay with God's truth, and then trust Him for the outcome instead of us kind of manipulating the outcome, just trust Him for the outcome. Do what's right. Trust God for the outcome. Take a complicated thing and make it simple. It's just as simple as that. Just apply God's Word to the situation and trust Him for the outcome. Wisdom coupled with humility and obedience to God, which those of themselves is wise, enables us to finish well. We want to finish well. I hope you want to finish well. You know, you may have made a lot of mistakes along the way. You may have made some bad choices, some unwise things, and you can't do anything about your past. You can't change it. But you know what? You can go forward. You can finish well. You can start right now and start applying God's wisdom to your life and finish well. It is a wonderful thing that God takes our past and just kind of puts it back here, takes our sin and just puts it back here where He can't see it. If you ask Him for forgiveness, He will treat you as if you never did it. Now, He knows you did it. He doesn't forget. But He can treat you as if you never had. And you can finish well. We got some excited people over there. So let's commit to finishing well. Let's commit to finishing well. How do you finish well? Get in His Word. Find the wisdom of His Word for your life. And then don't just know it, act upon it. And you know what? You'll finish well. So let's be wise. We're going to have an invitation. Now, I usually say those ready for baptism need to get ready now, but they are ready. Which is really cool to see excitement, you know. We lose our excitement. You know, you've been saved for 50 years, bless God. Looking forward to it. You know, we're all... And children just... You know? I think that's partly why Jesus said, you need to be like children. We should be excited. Amen. Thank you. One person agrees with me. It's invitation time. There may be someone here today that you have never confessed your sin. You never asked God to forgive you. You never admitted to Him you were a sinner. You never trusted in Jesus dying on the cross. You've never done that. You know what? You need to make a wise move. You need to make a wise move. And it's just as simple as I believe. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's as simple as that. It is not a complicated thing. It is a very simple thing. And it's free, folks. Free to you. It wasn't free to God. It cost God His Son. But it's free to you and me. And that would be a wise move. For the rest of us, there may be some here, you've been doing things your way. Maybe you need to start doing things God's way. Start putting your trust in that, in Him, in His way, in His Word. And see where that takes you. See what path that puts you on. I think you might find it a joy. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to give people a chance to make a decision. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Mike, I have never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've never trusted Him for my salvation. Is there anybody like that? I just like you to slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, I need to start trusting in Him more and my wisdom less. His wisdom more, my wisdom less. Anybody like that? I just need to do that. God bless you. God bless you. A lot of hands. God bless you. Thank you for that. It's just so easy to make those decisions on our own. We need to trust God. How many would say, I need to humble myself and go down the path God would have me go. I've been kind of going on my own path, and I need to go down God's path. How many like that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand in the back. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning thankful that Your wisdom is available to us. I pray for these that raise their hand, Lord. I pray for those that have been kind of doing things their way, Lord, but they recognize they need to submit themselves to You. And Lord God, I pray You give them strength, that You give them courage. Lord, that You would indeed give them wisdom and the knowledge to understand what that means and to apply it to their life, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that You would reveal it to them in a very special way and that they would grab a hold of that and hang on for the rest of their lives, Lord, that they may finish wisely and strong, Lord, and well. Help us all to do that, Lord. Thank You for Your Word and the wisdom it contains. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time while Kathy plays. If God laid something on your heart, maybe it had something to do with a message, maybe something totally different, but He laid it on your heart, this is your opportunity to do business with God. Take advantage of it. Father, we come before You thankful for Your Word, the book of wisdom that it is. Lord, may our lives reflect Your wisdom to a lost and dying world. Lord, help us to be that good and faithful servant that You've called us to be. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brad, if you'll help me with this. She's are good. So who was first? Careful, careful. Okay, turn around. There you go. All right. How is it? Pretty good? All right. This is Emily. And a few months ago, I had the privilege of talking with Issa, and Issa had accepted the Lord and wanted to be baptized, and I said, "Well, that's good, but we want to wait for your grandma to come back from Argentina." And so during that time, then Emily said she wanted to be baptized, and so I met. Always with children, I'm careful. And I met with them and explained to them what this was about and talked to them about their salvation and what it meant. And they understand. We talked for quite a while. And so they want to show that they belong to Jesus. And so, it was really fun talking with them. And it just reminds me of the excitement that we all should have, really, in serving our Lord and in doing things that He would have us do. And so, Emily, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. She's ready to go. In obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ and upon a public profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. Okay, stop right there. Go ahead, step up. There you go. Get that around you. Okay. Okay. You can stand right there and watch your sister. Come on, Issa. All right. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Issa, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. In obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ and upon a public profession of faith in Him, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. There you go. We have your hand. Okay. All right. Isn't that great? That is so great. I know it's great to have the family. A lot of the family are here today as well. So it was great that we waited so that everyone could have a chance to be a part of their special day. All right. Remember, after the service, hang around and congratulate them on their decision as well.